Sweet. How's everybody doing? Good? Yeah? Listen, it's okay if you're not. It's okay if you're not, because Jesus said it. I didn't come for those who are well. I didn't come for those who are clean, right? Because there are none. And the reason I want to start with that tonight is because if Jesus called anybody out on their stuff harshly, it was those who were self-righteous. And oftentimes when we hear about these kind of law-keeping or religious leaders in the Gospels, we start to think one of two things. And that's what we're going to go through tonight. But those one of two things goes like this. The first one we might say to ourselves is this: that's not me. Now, I'd be careful to just write yourself off tonight because you might be surprised how identical our lives can be to theirs. That's the first thing. If the Lord has been showing me anything in these past few weeks, it's that. It's this self-righteous behavior. It's this self-righteous attitude. And then the second thing we might say to ourselves is, I will never become that. Now, I am not at all an expert on this subject, but I am growing more and more and more aware of it. And I believe the more aware we can be of any issue, the easier it is to bounce back if we find ourselves or our hearts moving into that direction. And so what I've learned as a Christian is if I'm not spiritually aware of what's going on in my heart, I am more than capable to become what Jesus so often rebukes, or God forbid, I might already be there. And so tonight, that was awesome worship, but I also want to take this time to actually just let this moment tonight to let God's Spirit examine me, examine you, to see where we might be in this season. As Josh said last week, that Jesus is the lamp. I think that's where he left off. Mr. Beal, he's not even here. Mr. Beal. As Josh left off last week, that Jesus is the lamp. And guess what? Lamps are designed to bring light into dark places. It is an analogy of actually God's Spirit, which does the work of illumination. It illumines darkened hearts and darkened minds, as Paul says in Ephesians 4. And that's the work of God, guys. It begins within us. It begins within our hearts. Now, if you have your Bibles, I would love for you to turn to Luke chapter 11, and we're going to begin in verse 37. If you don't have a Bible, there are plenty of Bibles on the side over there that you guys can grab, and you guys can even take that home. That is our gift to you. Luke chapter 11. I love to read through the passage to kind of get an overview of where we're going to be. And so that's what we're going to do. And so if you're at Luke chapter 11, please say amen. 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 Let's start. Verse 37 says this. Now, when he had spoken, Jesus, a Pharisee asked him to have lunch with him. And he went in and reclined at the table. When the Pharisee saw it, he was surprised that he had not first ceremonially washed before the meal. But the Lord said to him, "Now you Pharisees clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but inside of you, you are full of robbery and wickedness. You foolish ones, did not he who made the outside make the inside also? But give that which is within charity, and then all things are clean for you. But woe to you Pharisees, for you pay tithe of mint and rue and every kind of garden herb, and yet disregard justice and the love of God. But these things you should have done without neglecting the others. Woe to you Pharisees, for you love the chief seats in the synagogues and respectful greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, for you are like concealed tombs, and the people who walk over them are unaware of it." Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your correction and love. I pray you speak to us tonight, to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, when I was reading this, I thought to myself, if this is what it's like to have Jesus over for lunch on an afternoon, like, I'd be thinking twice about inviting him over. That's a joke. But what I want us to understand more than anything right here is a lesson on God's love. And it's this: God's love for us will always go beyond how we might feel because of the truth. I'm going to say it again. God's love for us will always go beyond how we might feel because of the truth. He is not going to pull his punches because you might get angry or offended. But guess what? He is always going to engage the issues in our life as a life or death situation, because that's what it is. And like any kid, for example, like any kid that loves to play and have fun, if you seen one run across the highway, what would you do? You would do everything you can to warn them, pulling them aside, not to stop them from having fun, but to protect them, to warn them, to save them from oncoming cars, because they can get seriously hurt. Like if I seen my son run across the street without looking both ways, I would scream. My son's here tonight, by the way. And so anytime we come across these religious folks, this is what you get. Kind of like this harsher rebuke, or kind of like this more stern tone. Not because Jesus doesn't love them. If he didn't love them, he wouldn't say anything. But it's because he loves them, he engages with them. Now, as we see in verse 1, this wasn't the first time Jesus was invited over to a Pharisee's house. The last time we actually see that was in Luke 7, when Simon the Pharisee invited Jesus over for dinner. But guess what? It wasn't just the religious folks. It was even the common people that invited Jesus. We see this in Luke 5, the house in Capernaum. Again, we see it in Luke 4, Jesus went to Peter's home. Again, in Luke 8, Jairus' house. We see it again in Luke 10, as LPK taught, Mary and Martha's home. And the list goes on and on and on. You see, not only does Jesus go to where he's invited, but within every home that Jesus went to, we see that many different things begin to take place there. And it wasn't all the same. You see, there were times of miracles and healings. There were times of teaching. There were even times of correction, times of repentance, times of worship, and even just sitting at his feet. And so it is safe to say that when Jesus enters a home, guess what? God's work is being done. And it's the same for all of us here today. You see, there will be times of healing, both emotionally and physically, times of even restoration within our lives and even our relationships. And just like in this passage tonight, there will be times of correction and even repentance. And all this is being done because God is loving, and he is faithful to complete the work that he began in you, Philippians 1:6. Because if we have been called to look more like Jesus, guess what? It always begins in the places we don't. Oftentimes it's easier to look at maybe where we might be doing well and kind of neglect the other areas, maybe even more important areas of our lives. Have you ever heard that saying? Maybe you have. Your talk doesn't line up with your walk. It's a common phrase that's kind of tossed around, and it simply means that you might profess to be a Christian, but your life and my lifestyle says the opposite. I just want to argue with you with that phrase, because we can all be this way in different areas and different points in our lives. I am more than capable of saying one thing and then doing another. Anybody? Like, I can be telling my wife she needs to be more patient while I'm over here losing mine. Happens. And yet this kind of behavior can be addressed. Why? Because it's noticeable. It's loud. It's visible. You can't miss it. When someone pops off, you're like, dude, you're angry. But that's not what we're dealing with here. This is actually the opposite of bad behavior. You see, this chapter is talking about good behavior but a bad attitude. This is outwardly polished but inwardly stained or dirty. And if there's anything that God can see most clearly in our lives, it is what most people cannot. And so if you're taking notes tonight, you can write this down. God is not only concerned about what you do, but who you are. I'm going to say that again. God is not only concerned about what you do, but who you are. He is just as concerned about what's happening on the inside, maybe even more than how we present ourselves on the outside. Now, one of the reasons why this happens actually comes from this next verse. So let's read verse 38. It says this: when the Pharisee saw it, he was surprised that Jesus had not first ceremonially washed before the meal. Now, here's the scene altogether. Jesus first accepts the invitation to lunch, and instead of washing his hands at the cleaning station, he goes straight to the table. Now, for most of us here, unless we are familiar with the Old Testament, we would think that this had more to do with hygiene. Like, we know it's a good thing to wash our hands because we might have touched something gross, right? Every time before we eat. But that's not what's happening here. In fact, when it says that they were ceremonially washing their hands, it deals with people being ceremonially unclean. Now, history lesson. Back in the Old Testament, when God chose Israel to be his people, he gave them laws that governed them. And these laws would actually set them apart from all the other nations. But within those laws, there was a distinction between clean and unclean. For example, you weren't allowed to touch a dead body, but if you so happened to touch one, it would make you ceremonially unclean. And whenever someone was considered unclean, depending on why, this is what would happen. They were to be separated from worshiping God, from his temple, for amount of days, for however amount of days, depending on what they touched, depending on where they were, depending on what they ate. Now, before we get lost in the weeds, there are two things that I want us to know. The first thing is this. You weren't allowed to approach God any other way. There is no way, you weren't allowed to approach God any certain way. See, this made any Israelite realize who they were dealing with. You see, they understood God's holiness because of their uncleanness. Therefore, purification and cleansing was always needed before approaching the Lord. Second thing is this, the most important thing. It was a reminder. You see, it was a reminder to God's people that their washing was symbolic of their spiritual uncleanness. In fact, for the priests, whether they touched something, ate something, smelled something or not, they always had to wash before doing God's work. And although they couldn't get away from the washing, I believe what can get away from them is the reminder. And guys, I just want to say this. The reminder has always been this. Nobody is truly clean. This is the truth. Washing your hands and your feet will only scrub the grime off of the skin. It never goes beyond that. In fact, it doesn't change who you are. You see, the meaning behind the washing was far more important than the routine itself. You see, we can go through all the motions of Christianity or the routine of worship coming here day in and day out, but we know that our hearts can be far from this place. Our hearts can be far from Christian. This is what Jesus here is addressing in verse 39 and 40. If you would look with me, he says this, "But the Lord said to him, 'Now you Pharisees clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but inside of you, you are full of robbery and wickedness. You foolish ones, did not he who made the outside make the inside also?'" You see, Jesus gets straight to the point, guys. He's saying, you guys wash your hands before a meal, which isn't even in the law, thinking that it makes you more righteous, but it only makes you appear that way. This is the David translation, if I'm allowed to do that. "You Pharisees believe that purity and cleansing comes from what you do, but no amount of washing can clean the dirt within your hearts." And this is what God is after. He's after your heart. Not prettied up, polished David. He wants the dirt. Like, he wants the grime. You see, I believe that all people ceremonially wash themselves before they get here. Instead of bringing our struggles, admitting our weakness, we wash before every meal. We can come to this place and instead of confessing our sins to the ones who know them all, we just cover it up with more theology. We just cover it up with more church. We just cover it up with more service. And we try to hide behind whatever righteousness we think we have and never deal what's really going on inside of us. Never. And guess what happens? You see, the outside might look clean and polished, you're here, but the inside is still the same. And so Jesus says in verse 41, "But give that which is within charity," he says, "and then all things are clean for you." You see, he's making the point that in whatever we do, no matter how righteous we can act, if the inward attitude doesn't match the outward behavior, we haven't even done the right thing yet. We haven't even done the right thing yet. For example, we can be kind and loving to someone, but in our hearts, we can also be manipulating them. looks good on the outside, but it's wrong on the inside. You see, the Pharisees were good at doing all the right things, but for all the wrong reasons. And it's possible as Christians, guys, we can be the same way. We can give to God all of our time, our money, our service, but not give him what he truly wants, which is the heart and the things of the heart. See, there is no doubt that Jesus wants us to be kind and he wants us to be loving people, but not with the agenda to manipulate them. See, he doesn't just want our good behavior, but he even wants our unrighteous attitude. And when we do things with our hearts that are not in the right place, it not only affects us, but it even affects the people around us. And so he starts in verse 42 and he says this: "But woe to you Pharisees, for you pay tithe and mint and rue and every kind of garden herb, and yet disregard justice and the love of God. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others." You see, guys, Jesus isn't against tithing or giving. In fact, he points out how they gave more than the law actually required. But going above and beyond in your works, whatever you may be doing, doesn't change what's more important to him. And oftentimes as Christians, we can neglect what truly matters most to God, which is a right relationship with him and a right relationship with others, to love him and to love others. And yet I believe we can focus more on the less trivial things like giving and church attendance and how much we know about the Bible. Like, trust me, those are good things. But let me ask you, are you dealing with people rightly? Are you a man or woman of mercy and grace? Do you help those who are poor and needy when you see them? Do you forgive the ones who ask you for forgiveness? This is what's more important to God than all the money that we can offer him. I love what Jacob Elin says. He says, there are many spiritual activities that become non-spiritual activities in God's eyes. And as I said earlier, God is not only concerned about what we do, but who we are. And there is no work more important to the Lord than the work he's trying to do inside of you. God is more concerned about your heart than your wallet, guys. And in the same way, we can emphasize more on what we do and less on what he's trying to do. See, these Pharisees were more concerned about their outward appearance than their inward reality. And because of this, not only were their priorities out of order, but they were more concerned about how they looked in front of men than in front of God. And so Jesus says in verse 43, "Woe to you, for you love the best seats in the synagogues and the greetings in the marketplaces." You see, their ministry was driven by the attention and the praise from people. They cared more about what others thought about them than what God thought about them. I mean, like, the Son of God is standing right in front of them. My encouragement to you tonight is this: listen, you don't have to pretend to be okay. Like, I don't know if you heard this before, but this is a safe place to not be okay. But I believe we can create an atmosphere where everybody is doing good. How you doing? Good. And nothing is ever wrong. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But your house is on fire. Listen, I pray that we would become a church that humbles themselves when we come here. I pray that in my life and in your life that we would create a rhythm of confession and repentance. Those are gifts from a loving and gracious Father. See, we can become just like these Pharisees and only display those small righteous deeds and never our lifetime of failures. Like, that's what people want to relate to. They want to relate to you. They want to see the real you and what's really going on. Listen, I'll be the first one to say God is working out a lot of things in my life. Like, you are not alone. And so we finish in verse 44 and he says this: "But woe to you, for you are like concealed tombs, and the people who walk over them are unaware of it." One of the things that made people unclean was walking over unmarked graves. Sometimes people couldn't see them in the ground. But regardless, if they were traveling, if they so happened to step on one or touch one, they were considered unclean. You see, oftentimes the way we present Christianity can also rub off on others. If we present a lifestyle that is one of self-righteousness and pride, I believe other people will be tempted to follow in that direction as well. But if we present a lifestyle of confession, repentance, grace, mercy, love, then people can see who Jesus truly is. And so tonight, I just want to end with this. Maybe you've been coming here and you've just been going through the motions. It's time to give your heart completely over to Jesus. He doesn't want a better you. He's not looking for David 2.0. He wants the David now. The David that loses his patience. The David that has thoughts and compulsions. You see, you can come to every church service, every Bible study, every Wednesday night, surround yourself with Christians. You can say all the right things, do all the right things, but trust me, that's not going to save you. You might look apart, you might look washed and clean, but your hearts can still be stained with sin. Jesus Christ is the only one who can cleanse you and forgive you. As it says in 1 John, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So listen, the road to holiness isn't to go and be more holy. The road to holiness is to first admit that you're not. You see, on the cross, Jesus Christ took our filth. He took our uncleanness, all of it, all of our sin. And in exchange for our faith, he gives us his purity, his righteousness, all of it. This is the only way you guys can truly be righteous, to be truly cleansed. We cannot do it ourselves. And so my question for you tonight is, will you let him save you? Will you put your faith in him and what he did on the cross for you? And so we're going to spend a little bit of time in prayer. There's a lot of us here. Pastor Austin, if you could just come up and pray. Listen, I don't want you to leave here without giving your life over or getting prayed for. I want to call the leaders up, if that's okay. Pastor Keone, Pastor Steve, Josh Beal, Pastor Chauncey. See how much pastors we got in here? Auntie Jean. Women, go to Auntie Jean. Oh, Anna. Guys, Jesus loves you so much. And he sees you and he cares for you, guys, and he just wants you, but he wants your heart. Not your money, not your time, not your sacrifices, not your service. He wants you. That's some kind of future version of you. He wants you now. Whatever's going on now. And if you guys need prayer, you guys need to be prayed over. If there's anything in your life right now, guys, just come up and get prayed for. Like, I don't want you to leave this place without getting prayed for. We come in here and hear the word every week and we just leave. Like, this is what it's about. And so we're just going to spend a little time. If you feel led, guys, I encourage you, come up.